This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Tech Tuesday.
In the digital age, cybersecurity stands as a critical defense wall against an array of online threats, ranging from malicious hackers to data breaches. Amidst this technological landscape, artificial intelligence emerges as a double-edged sword, offering both advantages and risks in the realm of cybersecurity. AI's application in cybersecurity presents a promising frontier where automated systems can bolster defenses, detect anomalies, and respond swiftly to emerging threats. However, this reliance on AI also introduces vulnerabilities, as sophisticated attackers may exploit weaknesses in AI algorithms or use AI-powered tools to orchestrate more potent cyber attacks. Now, to truly grasp the implications of AI in cybersecurity, it is essential to delve into its advantages and its risks, understanding how this technology can shape the future of online security. Whenever we talk about online security, whenever we talk about cybersecurity, we speak to Managing Director of Clarifor, Loyiso Boyce, who's in studio with us. Loyiso, good to see you again.
Hey, Bobby. Good afternoon. Afternoon to the listeners as well.
And you're more than welcome to call in on 0861 987 000. All right. So maybe we do a quick recap of what's what in this world, right? When we're talking about cybersecurity, how does artificial intelligence work?
So cyber is a discipline on its own. Artificial intelligence is a technology that is being used to cut across entire offerings of information technology. So it's a component of information technology that can be plugged into other specialties, disciplines, other components to augment and add additional functionality. We started with basic AI, get Google Glasses, get Apple Glasses, very, very simple. But now we're at a point where we're marrying it to cybersecurity. So it's just going to keep going forward. I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing it in all areas of our lives, to be honest.
So this is very interesting. In cybersecurity, perhaps AI-driven systems can analyze vast amounts of data at speeds far exceeding human capabilities. So you can see that as an advantage of employing AI in cybersecurity. Give us another set of advantages that AI can bring to the cybersecurity world.
Your 12 o'clock introduction, I think you touched on it quite nicely. You touched on the element of speed and scaling. A lovely thing about AI, we've had to incorporate it in our business. Think about your most intelligent person, right? So we're a company, we have some amazing people, some really intelligent people. People have bad days, off days. Yeah. Sometimes they're tired and they're not running at peak capacity 24/7.
Right.
That's the
human.
Yes.
Yeah.
Human. Life happens.
Human.
AI doesn't complain about life.
Yes.
So AI functions at that level all the time, day in, day out, with the only issue being constant improvements, because between Grok, I think Elon Musk calls his Grok, there's OpenAI, there's ChatGPT, Microsoft has bought OpenAI, took some of that technology, incorporated to their offering around cybersecurity specifically. It's now called Copilot. So as you are running your IT department, you have a Copilot doing exactly that, co-piloting you 24/7, everything that you do with a security mind. I use the word mind loosely in this instance because there is machines.
Yes.
But
yes,
for the sake of English being tough, let's go with that.
Okay, so this will allow organizations to potentially identify suspicious activities or patterns in real time.
So I'll tell you what's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, my own company, we were planning to do quite a lot of investments in terms of hiring of people.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to put that aside. Especially for the entry-level positions.
Mm-hmm.
So we run a SOC, a security operations center, which needs to run 24/7, follow the sun. If something smells off, somebody needs to jump call the client, we prevent it from getting worse and sort the issue. That's how it works. So typically you would have three or four people sitting on a shift.
Okay.
It's shift work.
Manning.
Yes, those massive screens.
Okay.
So now look at my business.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So from a cost perspective, it's number of people.
Yes.
Which is salaries and training. It's the equipment. Everybody needs a high, I mean, it's hectic. I mean, my technicians are using minimum 16 gig laptops, i7 core. They're quite pricey, you know, close to 20K a pop. Then there's the big screens that you need. Then you need the main monitor screens that everybody can look at, where my senior guys are able to summarize all the issues. Now, the office space that you need, all those people, all that equipment is quite hectic.
Right.
What AI has allowed my business and other businesses and some of my customers, to be honest, this thing of hiring entry-level positions, it's falling by the wayside. AI is taking that up.
Yeah.
So everybody who's been thinking about going to cybersecurity, your typical step, you might be looking at becoming a SOC analyst. I hate to tell you, that role is on its way out. And it's crazy to say this in cybersecurity, because it's supposed to be the emerging industry.
Yes.
But even our space, some offerings are becoming commoditized. So we don't have any level one resources in my business anymore. We have interns that we train quite severely so that they can become cyber engineers. Because if you're not going to do that, then we don't need you. This makes me sound so bad. We don't need you, because the AI can take care of it. And that's the world that we're living in, unfortunately.
So that poses an advantage for the business because of that 24/7 non-human element issue, but then a potential risk to your human capital.
It is. It's a great equalizer, though, because now we're competing with massive companies, right? Because the same AI access they have access to, we have it as
globally,
well.
Globally.
Cybersecurity is moving so quickly. If you were really good a year ago and you rested on your laurels, you are further behind now. So AI has assisted us to compete with the likes of the KPMGs, the McKinseys, the IBMs, huge multi-billion dollar entities. But however, as we see with the self-driving element, as we see with self-checkout, as we see in security centers, not cybersecurity, but where people needed to sit and watch monitors to see who's misbehaving so they could call security and report it, AI is doing all of that. You don't need people watching all these screens, watching all these cameras. AI will tell you people are walking slowly. They're walking at a pace that seems like they're gathering. People have been walking around here. It looks like they're scouting. All of that is AI. So it's not just about cyber. I almost said every single job. Maybe not every single job, but it's here.
Yeah.
Right? We need to understand the same way that email had an impact on internet. It's that type of thing again.
Okay. All right. So that makes a lot of sense, because from a cybersecurity standpoint, if we're just looking at the world of cybersecurity and the functionality and staying a few steps ahead all the time, this is a very, very positive move. So can you talk to us about the actual technology that exists in that space? Because I'm hearing you mention things about, you know, monitoring, are people gathering? Is it also then down to, you know, what is the biographical nature of that information? Talk to us about that.
So, like any technology, right, these things need to be programmed.
Yeah.
There's algorithms that come into it. There's decision-making processes that come into it. We've touched on this previously. Unfortunately, that process is not exempt from human biases and interferences. So that remains a huge problem. So what you would have noted is that in the same way, like guys like YouTube, all these social medias, they don't really release their algorithms to tell you what makes... If we're saying there's 100,000 views on a YouTube video,
how do we
define what a video is? Did they watch for 10 seconds, 15 seconds? Did they watch the whole thing?
Okay.
Did they fast forward? We don't have access to that. We have a similar challenge with OpenAI. OpenAI received a lot of flack recently because their biases were coming through quite strong.
Mm.
So you would go to OpenAI about a month ago and say, paint for me a picture, or draw a picture or produce a video of a typical American family. it would go the very, very woke route, right? To the extent where if you said, show me American forefathers, those are white males. Okay. We know that. We wouldn't show them as white males, right? That's that. Those are those biases that are coming in. So that part is definitely hard to avoid. So it then becomes difficult to say, from a total evaluation, what are they looking at? So if you're saying to me, okay, biographically, how does that make a difference?
Yeah.
It does make a difference.
Yeah.
If you are dark and some cameras see you, they will alert the police quicker than other people.
Who is a shoplifter? Yeah.
And unfortunately, we are, as Africans generally, we aren't really in the space of so far producing these technologies that are discriminating against us.
But the security guard does the same thing.
Our
how many times have I been followed through shops because I fit
a description? Yeah. So that's not going away, unfortunately. And I think it's only going to get worse. I don't have an answer for you.
Yeah.
I do know the CSIR has put together something for the country. Cybersecurity around utilizing supercomputing.
Okay.
And quantum computing. We'll talk about it the next time comes.
Give us a clue. What's quantum computing?
Quantum computing computes information differently.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, standard electronics work on zeros and ones.
Mm-hmm.
If a signal is on, it reflects as a one. If the signal is off, it reflects as a zero.
Mm-hmm.
So how calculations are conducted takes a bit of time. As an example, if you want to do a complete mapping of the weather, you want to improve the weather forecasting of the country. So back in the day when we were growing up, you would know that we have gotten better. You wouldn't see a 7-day, 14-day forecast.
Yes.
We're starting to see a 30-day and they're getting better and better.
With precipitation, with the humidity.
Sunrise.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Quantum computing is a different level of computing. Whereas typical computers could have taken as much as 100 years to do some calculations,
mm-hmm.
quantum computers can do it in seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference.
Okay.
So in our discussions with the CSIR, we are looking at how do we use it specifically around encryption and decryption. Because what we consider strong encryption now, we spoke about encryption on WhatsApp not so long ago.
Yes.
One of the strongest forms of encryption, which is quite common, is 256-bit encryption. I won't go into the specific. It's very, very strong. It's basically considered, uncrackable at this point. Quantum computing changes that completely.
Mm.
From an uncrackable to a couple of seconds. Now, to bring it back home, quantum computing, AI, an intelligent person. Imagine what can be put together. Now, the other problem that we're starting to have, I'll show you how we are using the AI. So we do a lot of research. One of the research we need to do, we need to research dark web forums, dark web discussions to see where are they targeting, what's coming up, what's hot, why are the new tools, you know, because that's where the really cool stuff comes out from. And when people do break into environments, that's where they go and they floss. So sometimes when we're doing incident response, when we do incident response, trying to figure out what happened, we'll check environment, look up and down, almost find nothing. And it's just like people snitch on themselves on Twitter. We've had so many people get tenders, Hamilton, Nani, get tenders, post their stuff on Twitter and Instagram. Same thing in the cyber world. Then they go to the dark web version of Twitter and Instagram, and then they floss, and then we get some information. So now I must sit here and get my people to do this scraping of social media. Or I can get a tool. I can get BlackKite, which is a tool that runs and scrapes all these things for me.
But that still needs to be programmed, because I see often on Twitter, to avoid the algorithm, if they're talking about you, they won't write your name with the letter LOYISO. They'll put symbols for
Correct.
The O's, or they'll put a dollar sign for the S to try and make sure that they're undetectable.
It's exactly that. It's a game, right? And then those companies, Ballstar, they are offering, they detect things like that. And then we as people, we go out and we find ways to circumvent.
Yes.
So that's not going to change.
Okay.
The AI guys are not going to tell us how they come up with their algorithms. They won't share that code with us. They will not. If you look at the S&P 500, some of the biggest companies that have gained the most are AI-based companies.
That is fascinating.
So any business that you do, once you start saying, and AI, it's good for the business. So it's early stages. It's going to get crazier before it gets good. There's a reason why Elon Musk has sounded the alarm. There's a reason why he ended his, well, from what we see, they're not as friendly with the OpenAI guys. He was part of starting that company. It was the IT. Open in our world means open. My source code is open. That's what you're asking me.
Yeah.
My source code is open.
Yeah.
You can go through it and see how I'm receiving information, how I'm managing it. You can see what I'm doing. As soon as they closed it up and they becoming an AI thing, it became an issue. So right now, we have a problem. It's bad enough on social media, on Facebook and X and what, when we don't know the algorithm. The fact that we don't know it on AI, that will be used for decision-making, issuing of loans, figuring out your insurance rates, figuring everything will involve AI. The fact that we have a problem with our hue, and we're not about to get that sorted, I don't know how we're going to manage.
I'm so glad that you mentioned those specific real life applications, because when we talk about cybersecurity, you know, it can seem like something that's very far away from us. But maybe give us a few more contexts that it works in our lived experience.
My lived experience, yes. So I always try to make a distinction between cybersecurity and information security.
Okay.
But for our chat, it's fine. I'm going to make a distinction specifically now for the question you're asking me. We had a client come through to us because their hiring system was on the fritz.
Mm-hmm.
So they came in to us saying, Loiso, we have a problem with our data classification. We advertise for jobs. We have an AI tool that is, that is shortlisting the CVs. Mm-hmm. Because people take chances, right? I mean, it says 15 years, I want these skills. I understand why people will respond anyway without those things.
Okay.
So people receiving CVs get inundated. So one large financial company headquartered in Cape Town in the insurance space called us in and said, we have a problem in HR. What can you do? Sent my guy to do an analysis. What we discovered was the AI engine.
Mm-hmm.
The AI engine was married to gender roles. So the problem was, so it looked like women were only applying for specific roles.
Uh-huh.
And the company was going out of their way to open up their environment. But when the CVs come in, the question of Haibo, why is it mostly or only ladies that are applying for this type of position and guys in this position? That is AI.
So the AI was gatekeeping.
And not from an ugly way. I don't know.
No. The technology was programmed as such.
It was programmed as such. Yeah. Whether it was intentional, or I don't think it was intentional.
Okay.
But this was the outcome of our inherent human biases. And how when these things are not noticed or clocked and they're put in the technology environment, and then now this is required to make decisions that impact people's life. Do you see now how
holy
the loop is closed?
My.
So you didn't get a job.
Yes.
You went and applied for car insurance. You didn't get this job because, so you got another job somewhere else. Now you applied for car insurance. AI hits you again because your profile is like this and like that.
Yes.
You go home, cameras flag you as this is the problem child.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. We are close to Terminator.
Listen, are we not there?
So guys, the war in Ukraine, Russia, the things that are happening there are incredible, right? So the intelligence that they are putting on these FPV drones, the AI that they are using to pick up and counter and block signals like Starlink, it's what's it called? Counter electronic warfare.
Oh, wow.
So rather than having somebody sitting there and manually scanning for different signals, run your AI there. AI, here's input. Here's the military doctrine of this nation. Here are the codes. Here's what we know from this environment.
Yeah.
You feed it in. Here's what we've picked up the trends are for the past 6 months, a year. Please analyze possible scenarios, which is why you are able to get bombs that have decoys, right? So a bomb will fly, A ballistic missile will fly close to target. It shoots off 25 fake warheads so that the Patriot system or the S-400 can see 25 targets. This is all AI.
This is all AI.
So the anti-aircraft system doesn't ask. It sees, okay, the 25 targets. It does auto-targeting already. Yes. Because think about it, right? The last attack from Iran to Israel, fine, they announced it, but they sent 300 ordnances across. No announcement. Hypersonic missiles with short reaction time. You don't have time for a person to sit there genuinely and say, I could write, this one is too slow.
Yeah.
You need something to decide.
And then make the decisions.
And then make the decisions.
And enact
then
them.
Talk to the different pilots.
Yes.
And then, Aibo, it's not going to work. Somebody must be able to talk to everybody at the same time, look at everything, collate possible scenarios, and come up with a recommendation. Here's plan A, here's plan B, here's plan C. That's what we are doing in cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
It comes back and say, okay, Loiso, we're seeing this noise, but I've checked this. We've checked the patching. It won't get anywhere. Look at this, this, or this. What would have taken me would have taken Q, Seton, Pat, probably 18 hours to figure out, which of other clients, right? We can...
This is your team and
your
building.
This is my team, yes. We can get an alert at... This is what happened. We get an alert before BRICS.
Yes.
When we had BRICS here.
Yes, of course.
We got an alert at 12. It was assessed. My team, everybody was up. Everybody. By 1 o'clock. By 2, had been quarantined. By 6, a root cause analysis had been written and submitted.
Wow.
Normally, because it was a 1 a.m. on Saturday, I would have had a SOC level 1 analyzing. They would have seen something, not sure what's happening.
Yes,
they are scared of escalating because they don't want to look stupid.
Yeah.
You know, they wanna. It's 1 a.m. They don't want to bother the seniors. Rather than doing that, they get informed, hey, this is bad. Call everybody. Mm. Now, what would have taken us 6 hours, done. 6 hours, at 6 o'clock, I would have been waking up.
Yes,
to
and
start
starting.
The RC. They couldn't get hold of me. I woke up to messages saying, we had an issue, it's sorted.
That is incredible.
Yeah. AI and good people. It's not just AI.
For sure.
AI and good people.
Well, it always has that human element to it, doesn't it?
It does.
And so my next set of questions is around who then has advanced potential, who's owning it, especially when it comes to things that you're mentioning now about the country's security. You know, are governments employing the best security that there is? We'll answer that after our 2:30 power headlines.
Speak up. Call the power line on 0861-987-000.
We're speaking to Loiso Boyce, Managing Director of Clarifor, and talking about using AI in cybersecurity, exploring the advantages and the risks and how it's working all over the world. A really passionate conversation we're having about the uses of AI. And I think it's just so important to have an understanding, no matter how basic it is, as people who are living in this world, who are affected by AI tools and technology advancements every single day. You can give us a call on 0861-987-000 if you have questions or comments at any point during this conversation. You can also get in touch with us on X. Or on Twitter, whatever it is that you call it still, with your comments or questions with the hashtag Power Lunch. All right, let's speak to Kobela, who's on the line. Kobela, hi.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Bobby. Thank you so much. My assumption is auto landing on aircraft, that should be AI, right?
Is it?
Definitely augmented and assisted by that, similar to lane change. Well, yes, correct.
Oh,
you're correct.
I wanted to find out, Luiso, I don't see a lot of AI being used in agriculture. Is this something that you guys are going to do at some stage, or are you currently doing that? We just don't know about it.
Good question. You're correct. I'm actually assisting a client. I won't mention them, but they've just deployed an online mall for agriculture. Everything around people that are growing their plants, farming pigs, chickens, cattle, things like that. So on that environment, I touched on weather. That's I touched on weather. That's where that was coming from, actually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So they start reporting on weather, what it's going to look like, so people can better plan what they're going to plant and when to harvest. So it's definitely starting to happen. I have, so me and some of my buddies, we've got some cattle that we've bought together. We had a huge problem of theft, especially during COVID. So a lot of security tools that track the location of the cattle, and then based on how they move, previous experience, where they're supposed to be, where they're supposed to graze, if something is weird, it then alerts. Stuff is still quite expensive, and it touches on what Bobby and I were talking about off air a little bit, because in the agricultural space, a lot of the issues they're dealing with are still fairly bread and butter. It's basic issues, you know. People get paid, guys, don't pay them in wine. Are they trained? Is it safe? People are worried about getting killed. People aren't really investing. They don't have the time, perhaps, to look into that area. But there are companies that are doing it. It's definitely coming. I know globally it's quite far. Their farming equipment even includes AI on board, right? So the level of self-driving extends to their tractors. So when they are, I forgot what the word is, when they're doing those lines...
The plowing
can happen automatically now. You don't need the driver there. The plow can happen. It can do the seeds. You just tell it what you are planting. It'll figure out the depth, the spacing. So it's out there. I'm just praying South Africa elevates so we can stop talking about basics and we can move to tertiary problems that we can address.
Please, Bobby, if it's possible, can I get Loisa's number after this call, please?
Sure. Loisa's nodding. Problem. He says it's okay. No problem. I'll make sure that we connect you. Fano, if you could do that for us, that would be much appreciated. I mean, let's just expand on that a little bit about the bread and butter issues that we seem to continuously be being, and it sounds dramatic, but circling the drain as the rest of the world is advancing, utilizing AI technology in these incredibly interesting ways. You know, we're far from that, it seems, in a lot of ways. And it's not because of a brain drain in any way. The brains are there.
We have very intelligent people.
Yeah.
We have an MOU with the CSIR. They train a lot of young people. The idea is to take them on and bring them into their business. They're being gobbled up internationally.
Yeah.
We don't have a brain problem in the country. Looking at some of my customers, some of my colleagues, business partners, hey, people are clever, guys. We are doing work. My guy, I'm ready to go far. My guys, I mean, my guys are doing work outside South Africa. We're getting subcontracted by international companies. We don't have an intelligence issue. Other governments are more supportive of the sector. Businesses in South Africa are still worried about safety. I still worry about the ladies that work for me. I have to worry about the transport routes. I have to worry about where are they going to walk? Where are they going to sit? I don't have the time to look at fully at AI. I think it's the same thing that's happening in the country. We are too caught up in, I almost mentioned that family in KZN that was in Twitter recently.
Please don't mention them here.
I will not. Yeah. But we're worried about stuff like, imagine, worried about stuff like that. Worried about families, worried about potholes.
Of course.
Worried about...
Because look at this issue here, right? So we talked about this yesterday. Polluters are now going to be on a national register for pollution, right? And this is in particular around the water crisis.
Yeah.
Surely there should be AI monitoring the dams,
Bobby,
the dam levels.
There should be sensors in the pipes. So there's big pipes that always burst.
Yes.
And then they say there's no water for big regions. There's sensors. So everybody else is doing, it's called OT. Right, there's IT, information technology, there's OT, operational technology. So when you look at utilities, water, electricity, where it's not so much mining, where there's sensors, that's what we use. It's been there for years. So there's no reason why we should still be struggling with robots that aren't working when it's raining. We shouldn't be struggling with people that are stealing safety railings from the side of the road because we're not watching it. We have cameras on the highway. Nothing stops us from buying a module now, as I sit here. Somebody can go online, buy a module that says, with these cameras that we have, please look out for this behavior.
Right
now.
Right. So but, crime.
But what's the discussion with e-tolls? Let's bring them down. Let's what? We've got this.
The structure is up. pivot its use.
Pivot its use. Mm. Let's not get caught up in the nonsense. You know, the people that are getting kidnapped, hijacked, disappearing on the road, that should fall away by the wayside. But we're not going to get there. People aren't going to come here and invest while we have all these hectic crime issues that are going on. So worrying about how can we leverage AI in the medical space. Now imagine AI in a clinic,
yeah.
Right? People are frustrated with long... People wait forever in lines. There aren't enough nurses, not enough doctors. They can't keep track of medication. Put AI to keep track of our trends. Mm. We expect so-and-so to come at a certain time. Send so-and-so a message. Send a message. Did they respond? Did they confirm? All of that is automated.
Are they not using something similar in home affairs?
We are starting to get there. But what year is this? 2024. So, so far, nagu crime fighting. I have a daughter. 56. I am so frustrated. I am so scared and so frustrated. Then there's no reason.
By what?
The technology that we are not using. Yeah. Right? I have a daughter. We live in a crazy country. I look at what people, there's clever guys in South Africa, more clever than my company and me. They can do even better solutions. We shouldn't have this thing of ladies being worried and stressed in South Africa about good dark, I'm going to disappear, human trafficking. Yes. It's nonsense.
Yes.
Complete garbage, utter rubbish.
Should we be chipping our children?
I'm going to chip my child.
I'd love to chip my child.
Yeah. So we have a service where people are getting chipped unknowingly.
Oh.
So people like, that's the other problem now. So please be aware. People are getting chipped unknowingly. People can follow you at the shop, put something in your bag. So previously follow you home there to look at you, go into your car and actually tail you like they do in the movies.
So they can drop an air tag or something like that in your bag now.
So Konama gray ones that are unbranded. Manja. You know, China is quick to make things cheap, right? There are many of them, and they are much smaller now. Battery life is really, really good. Nama signal. And now they're also piggyback off other devices. So it doesn't need to have a strong GPS signal. It can pick up Wi-Fi signals. But because Wi-Fi signals, if you have a Wi-Fi signal, there's a repository on the internet that gives me your location. So it can match, based on what Wi-Fi signal it's catching, it can match its location. So between cell phone, GPS, Wi-Fi signals, and how Samsung does it, where it needs other Samsung devices to map out their location, it's a different world that we're in now completely. So we kind of have to move beyond the basics.
Yes.
Other people have moved beyond the basics. The attacks we'll be receiving around AI are hectic, right? There's a Hitler video right now going online where Hitler is rapping at a concert. It's not really Hitler, but if you didn't know, I think it's a little-ish. I'm showing my age. Little Yachty. One of these little rappers. There's a little rapper who's quite big, who has a concert, huge concert.
Yes.
There's a video right now, and they've put Hitler's body and face on it. They've had the Joker do it.
Yes, of course.
I'm pretty sure the one looks like the Joker. So that's the world we're living in. So when other people are elevating their engagement level, and it's now we're staying here, that's one of the reasons why South Africa is on the top. Usually on the top of target cybersecurity countries, because we are digitizing a lot. Government is pushing services online. Go online, claim online, prepay electricity. We are pushing everybody to use their cell phones more and more. We are not training them. And our education, as I said earlier, not just that, we are still stuck on basic issues. I don't know how to talk to people about AI and cyber. When Sakagwe, Microsoft PowerPoint and Excel.
I mean, a cell phone, but SMS, USSD,
So I'm quite upset, and that's where that comes from.
Yeah, got it completely. 0861-987-000. Let's talk to you. Oba, you're on the line. Hi.
Hi, how are you, Bobby?
Good, thank you. Go ahead, Loyiso's here.
Yes, Loyiso. No, I just wanted to first comment on, I had someone calling, actually talking about Autoland. Which is the automated system of the aircraft. I wanted to indicate that, you know, the Autoland came before even AI came into fashion. If you were to check, because it's an intersection of engineering and AI.
Yes.
Basically, your Autoland, it's something that was invented in the UK in the 1930s, and AI only came into existence in around 1956 at Dartmouth College. So I wanted to say that, you know, we tend to give credit to everything AI.
Oh, but think about it. AI inherently was just saying artificial intelligence, right? So yeah. I don't know if we need to have chips, computers, and all of that to replicate artificial intelligence. I don't see it as something that's only computing-based. If we're being really loose about it, if it's an artificial form of intelligence, I would think that it should fall under that.
It is AI.
But I stand to be corrected, though. You raise a good point, though,
Secondly, I wanted to talk about the bias that is prevalent in AI.
Mm.
Mainly, it is because of the data that it is fed into the algorithm.
Mm.
Think about it, that, you know, when it comes to also facial recognition technology, when the Chinese came with the facial recognition technology, most of the data that they fed into their algorithms could not actually recognize people who were not white or of Asian descent.
Mm.
It was because most of the algorithms that they used, the data that they fed their algorithms, did not actually have data for black people. And as a result, you know, it could not actually detect the faces of people other than the data that they used to feed the algorithm. So all I want to say is that we tend to want to look at, you know, artificial intelligence as something objective or something that can work on its own. There is human affairs in artificial intelligence. It depends on the data that it is fed into the machine.
I think, Opa, you're touching on
that. I wanted to.
You are touching on this concept of garbage in, garbage out. This comes from our old coding days.
Yes.
If you feed it garbage, you'll only get garbage out. I think that's what you are touching on. But don't forget, right? Humans, we have an element of not being totally honest. So some of the problems do come from garbage in. Some of the problems are there by design. It's intentional.
Oof.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you, Opa. Thank you very much for bringing those points up. Tepo, you're in Montana. Hi.
Hi, Babi.
How's it? Yes.
I think, Babi, if you look at what the comment was from Opa, the first one, now and I think from the likes of Mangope, the airport in Uputatswana, a long time ago in Mafikeng, it used to have this aircraft acknowledgement of auto landing, long time ago, not now. And as somebody said it several times. When you talk about the IA, we keep on giving it. It's just a face and a name.
Mm.
We've been having this technology for over the years. Let's look at Coca-Cola. What you call automation is exactly what you call coding in terms of once you take a PLC, we give it functions. You talk about robotics that have been there for years. What is new about this technology that we call IE that is just a face of a new model of a car?
100%, Seppo. You've hit the nail on the head.
And I hate the part that you said, Luis, like, you are getting tired of politicians coming on board saying things they don't know. Even their own, even a minister that is in that department has got nothing to do with the department themselves because of their moved from place to place. They comment about things and knowledge that is lacking across the board. And we must not be sold this thing of IE. We had cell phones long time ago, not now. Cell phone is part of the IE program part because of coding is happening there. A lot of automation is happening around there. But today we are sitting here, we think when we put something on a map now, because of now we are on socials and we use a lot of data to communicate, then we make it as if it's important. There's nothing new for us who are in engineering. We understand the concept better than most people that just hear the name and thinking, how long have you been using a server, Louis?
Exactly.
When in companies.
Exactly. That's
how long have
exactly.
you been remotely using somebody sorting a problem from Japan?
Exactly.
Sorting out the problem when you are in South Africa.
And when in the PLC space, PLCs, I touched on IT, OT, it's another system
yes.
that they use. Are you in electricity, in the factory, mining? Which context are you using PLC? Are you generating power? What are you doing?
Both generating and system logics in terms of operations.
Right. You heard me touch.
And also, also tracking. You know this thing that you mentioned in terms of government, they can allow the banks to give you an OTP on the phone,
mm-hmm.
but they cannot allow you to vote online. It's
crazy.
A simple logic.
Mm-hmm.
And then a tracking of cables in the mines, what they do, I can't mention mm-hmm. the product because of it's from Australia, and most of the mines are using it.
Mm-hmm.
They know where the cable is snapped, not this thing of spiking a cable when the
exactly.
cable is, they say there's a cable spiking.
So this could be rolled out, used in all sorts of contexts that would fix a lot of problems.
There are complex deployments of AI and very simplistic deployments, right? Not everybody needs to be self-driving or cybersecurity.
Yes.
Basic monitoring of cables, water valves, with some intelligence built into it. That's artificial intelligence. He's completely right.
Yeah.
You touched on something when we're off air. You asked me who's leading the charge.
Yes, the global status quo,
My answer to you was how things stand right now. It's the West, it's the Americans that are positioned as leading it. But I think it was Otepa, I'm not sure who said, use the word fashion, that AI has been here for quite some time. It's just started being a fashion right now.
Mm.
These are concepts that have been out there for a long time. It's just that they're becoming more ubiquitous, they're becoming more fashionable because naturally we are connecting more.
Yeah,
so it's becoming
also
more relevant.
Easier
yes.
to create.
Yes, because there are more reasons, there are more interfaces, there are more reasons to do it.
Yeah.
Previously, it was, most of everything that is touching on is serious monitoring. It's all in these big companies. But technology gets cheaper and cheaper, becomes more ubiquitous. Then it filters into our hands.
Why is this technology being used that he's talking about? An Australian technology.
We've been touching on it because here we are focused on the basics as to why we're not, because we've got Abbott Danel, of course, says we can do these things. We've got amazing brains. I don't have an answer for you.
Garabo, you're in Woodmead on 0861-987-000. Hi.
Good afternoon, Badi, and your guest. Just a comment from me.
Mm.
I mean, AI does not replace the human element of things. And when he touched on the clinics, for me, touched a chord for me because a personal experience. My father-in-law is on diabetic medication.
Mm-hmm.
And when he goes to Bara, for example, to collect his medication every 3 months to 4 months, he gets a different code of medication, which is the same medication. So Bobby has tended now and her medication is blue, and then 3 months later, Garabo tenders and my medication is in a yellow box and I'm told take two with each meal. So he's doubling up and taking 8 medications because he thinks it's a different type of medication.
Mm.
There's no explanation. I'm sure if we filtered AI to say, yes, it's in a blue box, but it's still the same.
Right.
No explanation. No, and you're just overdosing and it's leveraging or it's a balancing act where it's now affecting health. Instead of you becoming better, you're making yourself
sick in other ways.
You know. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Whew, Garabo, thank you.
Garabo is correct.
Yeah.
The idea is to let the AI do some of the functions that humans need to have energy and time to address.
Yes.
In a clinic environment, you need to be able to talk to clients, to your patients properly, coach them correctly. But if you're the same person who needs to go and count the number of pills dispensed last week, you need to count the number of, I don't know, stuff that is just not necessary. There are no gloves, you're looking for that. It makes your life that much more difficult.
I think it was a tweet here that spoke about somebody who'd been in Canada and there was advanced, here we go, von Zorka saying, I visited some farmers in Canada last year and they were highly automated with variable plowing, seeding, weeding, etc., with self-driving tractors and combine harvesters as well. And then there's a pharmacy down the road here and it was like this big news that this pharmacy has the robot, and essentially on the laptop, on the thing, the computer, the prescription goes in, and then whatever happens behind the scenes, but all you see is the robot arm dispense your medication at the end of it. And I mean, that is possible. This isn't beyond 2000. This is the technology that exists today.
I'm going to a conference, it's called GSEC. Next week, it's like the biggest cybersecurity conference in Middle East and Africa. The stuff we're seeing there is incredible. So at the next show we have, I'll have a nice report back for you.
Yes.
I'll make it a point to find the most interesting technologies, the most out there, the ones I think are the craziest and dumbest and I'll share those with you.
Is there a cost factor? Is this part of the issue why perhaps government has an issue?
No, government is an issue because they have an issue in jail.
Okay.
It's, the cost is not to the point of being prohibitive. And we're looking at the outcome. Every couple of weeks, there's a new hack. You can't hack our Department of Justice, guys. I'm sorry, that's just not on. It's just a bad look internationally. Forget the other ones that are not being reported. The things I'm hearing are ridiculous because not everybody is reporting. It's out of hand, right? So the cost of doing nothing is higher than the cost of actually implementing these systems. And they're getting lower and lower with each year. I think Utsepo was the one who mentioned the MPLC system. He would know which from a couple of years ago where how much my server were costing to what it is now. A whole big server had less processing than what we can do now on my on the Samsung device, right?
Incredible.
Leveraging cloud computing. So it's not a money issue.
From a legal standpoint, what regulatory frameworks or compliance requirements do organizations, even countries, need when deploying AI and cybersecurity?
This is tricky. The legal framework tends to lag behind the technology.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it with Popeye. By the time Popeye came into law, things were a mess. Cybercrimes bill also just went into law, I think, last year. But it's a bit late. It's a hard one. I think this one is better suited for the legal minds that have researched the implications of interpretations of law by AI. Because now, what's the algorithm? What are you using? I'm not best positioned to answer the legal framework.
Because who would you be suing? Who is attacking you? Who is monitoring you?
Did AI go to court? Can they represent you? Are they allowed to write? I don't know. Because my understanding, to go to court, you can't just go to court. It must be an advocate or
admitted,
an attorney. Must be allowed to write reports.
Yes.
I don't think AI has that. I don't know how they want to cover that.
Vamisile, with a very important question. You're in Centurion. Hi, Vamisile.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for the time. Hi, Loiso. How are you doing?
Hi, Vamisile.
Good. My question, Loiso, is I want to find out, in terms of university, the technology that they're currently teaching now in our university, is it relevant? Or I've got a son who's going to be in matric next year. He's very interested in cybersecurity. Do you think it's better for him to go into an internship and still might get plugged in into the system, and or is it better if he goes to university and study in the universities?
Okay, so I'm going to answer this only from a point of I'm an employer. I'm looking to hire people. What jobs are available? What's paying good amounts? I know there's other benefits, socializing. I'm not going to talk to that element, right? So I'm kind of cheating your question.
Okay.
But
you're the employer, so
yeah. So I'm answering only from that angle.
Yeah.
I struggle with people that come to work with just with degrees and master's degrees and don't have any other experience. I have to start them from scratch from a training perspective. You know, the reason we're doing this thing with CSIR, they are taking students from high school, people that are in first year, second year, and the things they are doing are amazing.
Mm.
To answer your question, in the cybersecurity spill, in the cybersecurity field, what we're chasing are certifications. Certifications show that you can actually do something. Some of them vary from 1 week, some are months, some are a bit longer. Things like CISSP, CISM tend to be a bit longer, required to have management experience and other things. But there are other ones that are quite simple. Typical firewall that's very popular right now is a Fortinet. A firewall is what you put. It's like a fence of to separate you from the internet. You know, just it does that delineation. I'm simplifying it very easily right now. That's a very important port skill and task. If you're going to go to varsity and learn for 3 years, by the time you come back, we'll be on the fourth generation of firewalls. Go certify. Go to a training center. Do your training, and you are better positioned to find work in my space.
But straight after matric, what would Vamisile's son do?
Just training.
Okay.
If they don't want to do varsity, they want to do training, go online. Start with Udemy. It's quite cheap.
Okay.
Go to, I don't want to mention schools.
But it's not like you need to go get a junior degree and then add on to it. It's about the certifications. No,
we're people that are working for us that are quite junior. Some are in high school, but they're really good. So when you do pen testing, basic stuff to train my guys. Some of the guys that are training my people are from high school.
There we go. Vamisile, I hope that helps.
Lighthouse, thank you so much.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And thanks for calling in to all of our listeners who called in. And thank you as well, Loyiso. How do we get hold of you? Do we follow you? How do we do it?
I have a personal LinkedIn page. Just that. The company has a page on X, Claro4SA. But because of AI and all of that, I'm reducing my online footprint as much as I can.
Yeah.
So, and there's also info at claro4.co.za.
Yeah, good old email address, hey?
Yes.
That's good. Yes. That's good. Thank you, Loyiso, for coming through. This has been a very interesting conversation. Enjoy your travels, and I can't wait to hear about the new technology when you get back.
Can't wait.
Thank you so much for being a part of Power Lunch this afternoon. God bless us all. God willing, we're back together again between midday and 3 tomorrow.
I thank you. Can I go home now?
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.